When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my love thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well. In part, but the whole. He was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trumpets shall resound, and the Lord shall be saved. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is
thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. If you would, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, and then hold Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, hold Philippians chapter 3, and then we'll go back to where we were last week at Micah chapter 2. Micah chapter 2. Micah. Micah is the name of the prophet, the Old Testament here. Micah, whose name means who is like Yahweh? Micah chapter 2, verse 13 reads, The breaker has come before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them and the Lord on the head of them. This comes at a time when the Babylonians were around Jerusalem. And Micah promises that in time, Israel, the Jews will break out of the city walls. But the breaker is come. The breaker is the Messiah. And we applied it like this. Is that a lot of times we're confined, whether emotionally, financially, psychologically, or different spiritual circumstances, we're confined with self-pity, with a self-walled environment. And we don't know what to do, but we're promised that there is a way out. And the way out of this confinement, the way out of this imprisonment, is to wait for the breaker, for the Messiah to come, and allow Christ to break down the gate. And like it says in here in verse 13, when the breakers come up before them, they have broken up and passed through the gate. To pass through the gate and go forth. And when we wait and we watch Jesus Christ break down the gate and make an opening outside of these walls of confinement, a lot of it's self-imposed confinement, then we will pass through with Him and are gone out by it. And the king shall pass before them. We learned that we got to let Him go before us and that we not get ahead of Him, that we must wait and watch for His lead, watch for His direction. And the Lord on the head of them. We've got to stop and let God be the lead. Stop and follow Him. And a lot of times we find ourselves unable to follow Him. Why? Because we're hard-headed. Because we're a prideful bunch. Because we know what's better for us than God does. Because we refuse to surrender unto the will and the way of the breaker. We refuse to surrender unto the will and way of the Lord Jesus Christ. We refuse to surrender to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We refuse to surrender to the one who died for us, who was buried for 3 days and three nights, and yea, rose again in fulfillment of the Scriptures, who has the keys to death, who has the keys to life, who promises us eternal life, who's coming again in glory. We refuse to surrender unto Him. And therefore, we don't follow Him. But when we do surrender, we see in verse 12, I will surely assemble thee, O Jacob, all of thee, and I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bosra, as a flock in the midst of their fold, and they shall make a great noise. They'll rejoice. Not only rejoice by reason of the multitude of men, but gather together as a flock who find rest. If we choose to surrender unto the breaker, we'll be able to rejoice and rest like He wants us to. We got to let the Lord break down the gate. We got to let the Lord pass by and not get ahead of Him. And when He does get ahead of us, then we got to allow the Lord to lead. And I thought, you know, that sort of open-ended there. There was no closure there. And I'm continuing to read the Bible through and I'm reading Philippians chapter 3. So if you turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Paul's writing, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul even has more reason to trust in the flesh. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, he said he's a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, he knew the law inside and out. He was a Pharisee. Verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Hey, Paul says he's a pretty good guy in the eyes of the world. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And do not count them, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, by the righteousness which is of God by faith. We'll stop here real quick. If you're here this morning and you are unsure of heaven, you are unsure of where you will spend eternity, this right here helps explain how one can know that heaven is your home, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved or delivered through faith. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing we can do to get to heaven. There's nothing we can do to keep ourselves to go to heaven. It's all because of Jesus Christ. It's all because of the finished work on the cross of Calvary. He's the one that has eternal life. He's the only one that can give eternal life. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure, know this. There is a way to know. The Bible says, for these things are written that you may know you have eternal life. Trust Christ as Savior. Realize you're a sinner. We're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. At the end of service, there'll be an invitation. And you can come at the invitation, and someone can show you in the Bible, not because this is a Baptist church. You don't go to heaven because this is a Baptist church. A person goes to heaven because of faith in Jesus Christ. And you can be assured of that this morning. Verse 10, that I may know him. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained. In fact, he says he's not there yet. He's not reached the goal or reached the prize yet. Not as though I had already attained. And either were already perfect, but I follow after of that which I may apprehend, that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we ask you, Lord, to be with the message this morning. Dear God, I pray for those who need Jesus. I pray today they would surrender unto you and cry out unto you, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Lord, for those of us who are saved, I pray that this message be a blessing, that we can move on and follow after you without a doubt of what our calling is, without a doubt of where our direction is, but look to you and only you and trust you with the rest of our lives here on earth. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. First of all, we're going to look at Paul. We're going to look at floundering, figuring, flushing, finding, following, forgetting, and forging ahead. Paul, he flounders. He, in verse 4 and 7, he's floundering with these things in the flesh. And a lot of times we look back to the accolades that we have, the accomplishments that we have, and we flounder in them because you know what? They don't bring us peace. They don't bring us joy. They don't bring us the things that Jesus Christ can bring us. And Paul was, it said he had all those things. He had confidence in the flesh even more than anyone else. But they didn't get him anywhere. And then he figures here in verse 8 or verse 7, but what things are gained to me, I counted for loss. counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, verse 8, and I count all things but loss. He finally come to the realization and he figured that those things had no purpose for him. He didn't have any gain in those things that the world might have gain in. His birth, his education, his vocation, his moral standards, his zeal persecuting the church meant absolutely nothing. He counted them, he figured them for loss. But for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, verse 8, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And may I say this morning, he flushed them. He realized these things meant nothing, and he flushed them. He realized what they were, and he flushed them into oblivion. He completely disregarded them compared to a spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. Verse 9, and be found in him. Be found in Jesus Christ. To know him, verse 10, that found him, we already went through having my own, not having my own righteousness. We realize who we are. We're nothing. We realize what we are. We're sinners. And we look to Jesus Christ. And we look to him for everything, because he is everything. And Paul says he's nothing. And everything he has, he counts for nothing. And he's flushed them into oblivion. And he's wanting to find Jesus Christ. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul wanted to be fully acquainted with the nature of Jesus Christ, with the character of Christ, and with the finished work of Jesus Christ. And know the power of his resurrection. Hello, someday we're going to know the power of his resurrection. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Those of us who know Christ Jesus as Savior today, can you imagine that day, what theologically we call the rapture? And can you imagine? Did I say that? Can you imagine? Can the time when we hear the trump and the dead in Christ and the graves are opened up, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up with them, and we see the world get smaller and smaller and smaller, just like the Apollo 14 and all those things. We see the world getting smaller. We're going to heaven, and we'll know the power of his resurrection. Oh my goodness. And we'll have a new and glorified body that cannot sin against a most holy God. We'll have a new and glorified body that will not hurt, that will not be in pain. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more bloodshed. We'll know the power of his resurrection. That's what Paul was looking for. If by any means, verse 11, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Grab a hold of that thing. A new and glorified body, that's verse 21, he's looking forward to that in verse 21. Who shall change our vile body that may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after that which I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended for Christ Jesus. Verse 12 through 14 is basically talking about running a race. He's not reached the finish line yet, but he wants to know what the will of God is so that he can run the race, apprehend, can get a hold of, can seize that thing which he's supposed to at the end of the race, the crown, the prize. Just like he was apprehended, he was seized by the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus with a purpose in his life, was to preach the gospel throughout the world, even unto Rome. Verse 13. So not only following after, verse 12, but look at verse 13. Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. In other words, he's not arrived yet. He's not reached the goal line yet. But this is one thing that he's doing, is forgetting those things behind. Forgetting, verse 13. And reaching forth unto those things which are before, and I press toward the mark. He's going to forge ahead toward the mark toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Now we've looked at the Old Testament there and about the breaker. We said, let the Lord break down the gate, let the Lord pass by and allow the Lord to lead. But here's the deal. We can do all that and then we can allow Him to lead and then all of a sudden quit. Quit. And where does that get us? It really gets us nowhere. We can give, say we gave the old college try to let the breaker go forth. Gave the old college try to let Him lead and pass through. But then we decided to quit. We got outside the gate. But then we quit. Philippians here. Paul writes to the Philippians, He don't want us to quit. God don't want us to quit. We'll find ourselves quitting because all of a sudden we get saved and we're at, can you imagine such a thing, actually trusting Jesus Christ? Can you imagine such a thing as getting saved and then trusting Jesus Christ with our security and then trusting Jesus Christ with our life and then trusting Jesus Christ with our finances? Can you imagine that? But no, we will trust Him to save us, but we won't trust Him with all these other things. Why? Because we're a rebellious bunch. And we flounder. Because we won't trust, we'll trust Jesus Christ for salvation. But now I'm going to trust in my education. I'm going to trust in my experience, my vocation, my wealth, the honor of my name. You know, everybody knows about the McCurdys, haven't they? No. All our ambitions, we rely on all these things and we refuse to rely on Jesus Christ, what He has for us. We rely on Him for eternal life, but when it comes to this temporal life here on earth, we refuse to trust Him. We'll trust on ourselves. Because you know what? I know more than Him. I know what I need. I know these things. He doesn't have any idea. And you know what? We find ourselves floundering like a upside-down turtle, unable to go anywhere. Because we figure. Or we, in other words, we haven't figured that these things are nothing. We haven't counted these things all but loss. And not only these are a loss for us, but they're a disadvantage. They get in our way of trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. Look at verse 8 again. Verse 8 of Philippians chapter 3. Yea, doubtless, Paul says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. All things. Right next to that verse, I have Christ written. Plus, I, capital I, capital A, small m, capital N, little O-T-H-I-N-G. Christ plus I am nothing equals Christian. If we're Christians this morning, and we're Christ-like, we count all things but loss except for Jesus Christ and what He has for us. And all those things that we count on, that we have counted on in previous times, that we think are important, we need to be like Paul and see what they are and what they're worth and then flush them into oblivion so that we can trust Jesus Christ and not all these things that get in the way. We've trusted these things before, and look where it's gotten us. Remember the time when we trusted Jesus Christ and Him only, and we had that joy? We had that peace? We thought, man, this is great. But then all of a sudden, we veered off path, and we started trusting those other things. And finding Him. to know him, to know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13 reads, "But rejoice inasmuch as ye be partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye." We go to work and someone mocks Christianity, we get bent out of shape. We should be happy that they recognize us as a child of the King and made conformable to his death. Paul suffered a martyr's death, and a lot of the apostles did, for truth. And we're going to suffer for the truth. Maybe some of us haven't suffered in recent times because we refuse to share the truth. Maybe we got it made in the shade because it's easier. It's more comfortable not to have to mention anything about Christ or what he's done for my life. We get angry when someone denies the truth. You know, Nico and Jessica, and their little girl, Olivia, cuter than anything. And she's in grade school. And I think second grade, and they're talking about evolution. And Olivia went up to the teacher afterward and says, "You know, evolution is not true." And this is the heart of a child. She says, "You know, I can go home and get my Bible and bring it to you and show you." She was genuinely concerned about the teacher. And we get in arguments. And our hackle gets up and we dig in our heels. But, you know, to have a heart of a child, be genuinely concerned about someone's soul. Follow after his pursuit. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, Paul says, either were already perfect. He's not gotten there yet, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He wants to seize that of which he was seized for by Christ Jesus. To surrender of God's will and way in our lives. But we refuse to surrender. And I don't want anyone to raise our hands this morning, but I have to ask this question. How many times or what things right today do we refuse to surrender? Maybe countless things. We need to be in full submission to what God has called us to do, for what God wants in our lives. Maybe some of us don't have peace this morning. Maybe it's because we have not surrendered to what He has for us. It is very, and I'm not pointing fingers because I know it's very easy to be caught up in things of this life and the problems in this life. And the covetousness, and want this, and want that, and need to do this, and need to do that, and go here, and go there, and go everywhere with green. But it's easy. My goodness, if we step back and surrender to what He has for us, imagine what our lives could be. It could be like when we first got saved. When we didn't have all those things that encumbered us. When we didn't have all those things that we floundered in, that we counted on. Because when we got saved, our eyes were on Jesus Christ, and we came to that realization, oh my goodness, it's only because of Him. Oh, I like this one. Verse 13, "Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Can you imagine? The breaker has come. He excuse me, he's broken through the, well, I'll tell you a quick story. We'll get back to that. I knew some friends that lived up on Broadway Street, and they were, there's some of us in here know the family, and they were a little eccentric. Anyways, they lived on Broadway, and their house caught a fire. And I knew some other friends that lived kitty corner from them. And they said, yeah, when the house caught a fire, the dad came out. They called the police and they heard the siren. And the dad came out and they were carrying the TV. And the kids were still asleep upstairs. But that's not unlike us. Paul says, I forget all those things that are behind, and I forge ahead. We see the breaker come. He's broken through the gate. We allow him to pass through before us, and we're going to follow him. But wait, I got to get this. And I got to get this. And I got to get this. And this. I can't forget this. Where'd he go? I can't follow him now. Not only did I go back, but now I can't see. I went back and got all the things that I was floundering in. And that's God's fault. That's what I'll do. I'll blame God. I'll blame God for having all these things back here that I had to go get. Paul says, all these things, nothing. I'm going to follow him. He's the one that broke down the gate. He's the one that's got my better interests at heart. He's the one that knows where I should be going. He's the one that knows where the finish line is. He's the one that has the world in his hands. He's the one that's got my future in his hands. I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to forget all this other stuff. But what do? We get on the right track, and we just got to go back. We're harmful to ourselves. Verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's forging ahead. This life ain't easy. And it's going to take persistence. There's going to be bumps in the road. Some of us are going to have a stalled engine. Some of us are going to end up high-centered. But it's still the path that God has us on. And I don't understand why some just get bumps in the road. Or some just might get a shimmy. Or some might have to park alongside the road and fix a flat tire. It's going to be daunting at times. It takes persistence. But at the same time, when we get that flat tire and people are driving by and the semis got the car like this, and you got a little jack, you know, there's little jacks like that, and you're just hoping that you don't breathe on it, and the car's just a shake, and you try and get that wheel on there just as soon as you get the other one off. Why doesn't those other guys have flat tires? They drove the same road I did. How come they didn't get a flat tire? I don't know. But I know that the path to follow is behind the breaker. And it's going to take a while. And we're going to get tired at times. And we're going to be rubbernecking it at times. But that's okay. It's still the best way to travel. Because my Savior is ahead of me. And I'm allowing Jesus Christ, the breaker, to lead. This morning we need to surrender. We need to surrender. How many things do we got carrying? We refuse to surrender. We refuse to drop that TV. We refuse to drop those things that keep us from following the breaker. If we surrender, we won't find ourselves floundering in all these things. We won't have a problem figuring and counting everything but loss for the except for the excellency of the knowing of Jesus Christ. We won't have a problem flushing those things into oblivion if we surrender. If we have a problem with those things, we haven't surrendered. If we surrender, we won't have a problem finding that which we desperately need, and that's Jesus Christ and what He has for us. If we surrender, we won't have a problem following Him. If we have a problem following Christ and the things in the Word of God, it's because we haven't surrendered. We haven't submitted to His authority in our lives. We haven't submitted to Him at all. If we surrender, then we'll forget about all those things that we left behind. If we surrender, then we'll forge ahead, bringing glory unto Jesus Christ, the Creator of heavens and earth. But that's if we surrender. We're going to have an invitation. I'm begging everyone here this morning to surrender and not rely on ourselves or our things or the things we've accumulated, whether it be education or just things that weigh us down. I encourage everyone this morning to surrender unto Jesus Christ and Him only. Well, I got the rest of the sermon down there. This morning, if you'd stand and surrender unto the breaker. This is push or shove. This is fish or cut bait time. The rest of our lives depend upon what we do this morning with Jesus Christ. Am I going to accept Him or reject Him as my Savior? Am I going to accept Him or reject Him as my leader? Please surrender this morning. 394 this morning, page 394. We'll sing, "Please Come." Something I got to throw overboard. I've got to surrender. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hands this morning? Oh, praise God. We're all in the same boat. Maybe put your hands down. God wants to break out. God wants us to break out with Him, and we need to surrender to Him and forget some of those things and just follow Him. How many here this morning say, you know, when it comes to salvation, I'm not sure that heaven is my home. I haven't surrendered unto the grace of God yet. Would you please pray for me? Anyone like that this morning does not know Jesus Christ as Savior? Anyone like that at all? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We ask you to give us a little more time that we surrender. Dear God, please forgive us. We fall so short. We find ourselves ungrateful. We find ourselves inundated with things of this world. We thank you for your mercy. Please, God, give us the grace to surrender in the name of Jesus. Amen. One more stanza. One more stanza.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior.
Like I said before, another great day. God gives us water and sunshine in the same week. Only God can do that. So I thank everyone for being here. If you once again have doubts about salvation, Jesus will meet you anywhere at any time. Call upon His name. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and trust Him. And those of us who are saved, we need to surrender. And it's a daily thing. It's a daily struggle. Thank you everyone for being here. Elijah Nelson, would you close us in prayer, please?